Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, but if any of you lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. It is written, but let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. He that doubteth is like the surge of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. It is written, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It is written, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Be not deceived, my beloved brethren, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there can be no variation, neither shadow that is cast by turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Was I that shed the sacred blood. I nailed him to the tree. I crucified the Son of God, and I joined the mockery. And of all that shouting multitude that heard the Savior's moan, I think that in those voices rude, I recognize my own. Around the cross, the throng I see, mocking the sufferer's groan. Yet still my voice, it seems to be as if I mocked alone. Gentlemen, listen to this message entitled, The Perfect Gift, from James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom can be no variation, neither shadow that is cast by turning. James says that God is the Father of lights. Actually, one of the first things said about Almighty God in the Bible indicates that statement is true. Moses tells us about creation when he says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, Let there be light, and there was light. Truly, he is the Father of lights." Then again, the fatherhood of God and light is noticed when he created the sun and the moon. The sun to rule the day and the moon to rule the night. Then it says he made the stars also. He is the Father of lights. Listen to the words of Paul when he says, God dwells in light unapproachable, that man hath seen, no man has seen nor can see. That statement makes us think of the statement of the Lord himself when he said, The unrighteous will be cast out into the utter darkness. There shall be the weeping and the wailing and the gnashing of teeth. There will be no sunlight in hell. God is the Father of lights. John said of the Lord Jesus, In him was light, and the light was a light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness apprehended it not. God is the Father of lights. Paul speaks of our defense against the devil when he exhorts the Roman church to cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk becomingly as in the day. Then in Thessalonians, he exhorts us to remember that we are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. God is the Father of lights. Then think of that wonderful statement that James makes about God when he says that with God, there is no shadow of turning. There is no sundial in heaven. The sundial would not work because there are no shadows in heaven. Here on this planet, the earth is constantly turning, and the shadows lengthen and shorten. Old age is referred to as the sunset of life. The older we get, the longer the shadows become. There is no shadow in heaven. Life is one long eternal day. John says, There shall be night no more. Truly, God is the Father of lights. Note also that every good and perfect gift comes down from the above. Any gift that is given from above is absolutely perfect. After man gets hold of it, he messes it up. And then there is that statement that gives such assurance that we are told, There is no variance in any one of those perfect gifts. There is no variance in the gift of the perfect gift of God's Son. There's only one way to consider his identity. He is the virgin-born Son of God and the Son of Man. There is no variance in the perfect gift of God's Holy Word. It is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and there is no other way to regard the Scriptures. There is no variance in the perfect gift of the church. If the Lord would start a new church today, he would make it the same as he did 2,000 years ago. It would still have the same officers it had in the New Testament. There was no archbishop in the New Testament church except the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter refers to him as the chief shepherd. There is no variance in the perfect gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, When he, the Holy Spirit, is come, he will guide you into all the truth. Again, Peter said that all things have been provided unto us pertaining to life and godliness, and there is no variance at all in the heavenly home. There will be no orange barrels. on Praise God Avenue or Glory Hallelujah Boulevard. Remember, every gift the Heavenly Father has given us is perfect. Now, some of those perfect gifts are obvious. One of the perfect gifts of God is the gift of His Son. One perfect gift that came down from the Father is that gift. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have eternal life. Jesus was the gift of the Father, and He was a perfect gift. He was tempted in all points, like as we are, and yet without sin. Once He stood before a crowd and challenged them with the statement, "Which of you convicteth me of sin?" Who else but Jesus could give such a challenge as that? Remember, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was flesh, and Paul said the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, wrath, factions, divisions, heresies, envies, reveling, and such like. Those are the works of the flesh. Jesus was flesh, and yet none of these sins found lodging in His heart. Let us just notice a few of them. I hesitate to mention it, but not one time did He ever entertain an impure thought of immorality. Not once was He guilty of sorcery. He never considered what some would have called the horoscope. This would have been sorcery. He was not guilty of drunkenness. He was never jealous of anyone. And what about division? He never started a denomination. He built only one church. He was never guilty of idolatry, not even to the point of worshiping the almighty dollar or some million-dollar ballplayer. When He gave His life on the cross, it was a perfect gift that was offered. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Another of the Father's perfect gifts is the gift of His Word. Jesus did not trust the apostles to write from memory the teaching He had given them. He told them that the Holy Spirit, when He comes, will guide you into all the truth and bring to your remembrance all things that I said unto you. Therefore, when we read the Bible, we can be sure that God in His providence has provided us an accurate account of what He said and did. Paul also speaks of that heavenly gift when he tells us, "I make known unto you the gospel that was preached by me. It is not after men, neither did I receive it from men, neither was I taught it, but it came to me by revelation of Jesus Christ." Paul told Timothy that he was bound in prison, but the Word of God is not bound. There's no way you can imprison the Word of God. It passes through all barriers. Think of this radio broadcast. The Word of God is not bound. It goes through the air as free as a bird. It is heard in prisons, automobiles, homes, north and south, east and west, pole to pole. People in countries where it is not lawful to preach Christ write and say, "Send me a Bible. Tell me more about Jesus." The Word of God is not bound. It is not tied up or imprisoned. And Paul further told Timothy, "All Scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Again, Paul says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is not a good luck charm. Now, I have read of similar events than this, but this one actually happened to me. A woman did tell me years ago that her son was in the Korean War and had carried a pocket New Testament in his breast pocket. A spent bullet hit him on the New Testament and stopped on the last page before going through the back cover. It had a shield on it. She said her son told her, "Mom, you told me the Bible would save my soul, but you never said it would save my life. That was a fortunate thing, but a dictionary might have done a better job." Paul said, "Study. It takes time and study to learn any subject, and there's no way you can absorb the contents of the Bible by simply carrying it around in your pocket. It is not a magic potion. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Some might think the Bible is out of date. It's been around for 2,000 years, the New Testament, any part of it, and it's been 2,000 years since Jesus has communicated with the human race with a written message. Some might think the statute of limitations has expired and the Bible is no longer a viable document. Then we remember what Peter said. The word of God abideth forever. And Jesus indicated that the Great Commission is in force, even unto the end of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, the statute of limitations has not run out on the word of God. The Bible is a perfect gift. It has the answer to every spiritual problem, everything you need to know about heaven, hell, the judgment, salvation, or damnation is in the Bible. It's a good and perfect gift for graduation. It's a good and perfect gift for a wedding. It's a good and perfect gift for a birthday. It's a good and perfect gift for Christmas. It's always a good and perfect gift for any occasion. It would be a good and perfect gift to present to an atheist. It is a good and perfect gift to present to a Muslim. It is a good and perfect gift to give to a Buddhist. It is a good and perfect gift to give to everybody and anybody for any occasion, anytime, anywhere. It is the only book that tells us God's will for us. It is the only book that tells us how to get out of this world and how to get to heaven. It is God's perfect gift. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Another perfect gift of God is the perfect gift of the church. Paul in Ephesians calls the church holy and perfect. The church is perfect because it is composed of perfect people, not by any perfection of their own, but because of the perfection of Jesus. As Christians, we have an imputed righteousness. In the fourth chapter of Romans, Paul teaches that righteousness is reckoned unto us as Christians. Galatians 3:27 states, "For as many of us as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. However, we are not to reason as the Romans that since we have this grace, that we can continue in sin." Paul tells us, "God forbid. How shall we that have died to sin live any longer therein? We have been washed, sanctified, and justified." Jesus prayed that we be sanctified in truth. Thy word is truth. Paul told Timothy that our food is sanctified by the word and prayer. Our sanctification is a day-by-day process, using the weapons of the word of God and prayer. Peter admonishes, "Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." But ladies and gentlemen, we will never get completely out of gunshot of the devil until that day when we reach the place where the spirits of just men are made perfect. Not only is the church perfect in this regard, but it is perfect as far as the structure of it is concerned. Some seem to think that we need a high-tech gospel for a high-tech age. If Jesus were to start over again and build another church for these high-tech days, there would be no change. The high-tech gospel of the first century can still deliver high-tech sinners today from high-tech sin, and they can still be added to a high-tech church and be delivered from a high-tech devil, a high-tech hell, and given a home in a high-tech heaven. He would give it the same terms of pardon as he did in the first century. He would give it the same Lord's Supper and the same officers and the same name. There would be no change if he would start over again. The church is the perfect gift of the Father, coming down to us above from heaven, where there's no shadow that is cast by turning. Another perfect gift from the Father of lights is the gift of the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, the apostles heard the rushing of a mighty wind coming down from heaven. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This was a perfect heavenly gift. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is a perfect gift from the Heavenly Father coming down from above. You receive that gift when you obey the terms of pardon for sins, as given by Peter on that day. Some want to know how they can know they have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Well, the Scripture provides a very simple litmus test in Galatians, when Paul tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and the most wonderful part of the fruit of the Spirit is that Paul sums it up when he says, there is no law against any of these attributes. You can indulge in the fruits of the Spirit all you want to. You can never overdo it. You can be sure the fruits of the Spirit will be evident in your life if you have it. But we need to remember that John tells us in Revelation that the bride of Christ is clad in fine linen. The fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Now, there's a difference in the righteous acts of the saints and the righteous acts of sinners. The righteous acts of the saints are sanctified by the blood of Christ, by their acceptance of Him in His terms of pardon. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Once more, one more perfect gift that we will mention is the obvious perfect gift of the heavenly home. John said he saw the holy city coming down from heaven. He said nothing unclean would enter into it. But though to the dogs and the sorcerers and the fornicators and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone that loveth and maketh a lie, some have the idea that God someday will line up all the saints and sinners alike and invite them all into His perfect home. Not so. Ladies and gentlemen, recently I called the devil long distance on the telephone. I really shouldn't have done it. Every time I mess with the devil, he gets even, so I don't recommend you try it. However, I dialed his 800 number. I certainly was not going to pay for the call. The devil's phone number is 1-800-666-4355. The numbers 4355 are easy to remember. They are the same as H-E-L-L on the dial. The phone rang several times before I got the answer. I kept thinking, what will I say if Beelzebub is the one who answers the phone? Finally, someone picked up the receiver and a voice told me that the number I had called was not in service. Well, I was not surprised. I had told people for many years that there's no way to hear the gospel after you die and go to hell. But if some lost and damned to hell sinner had answered, I would have asked him or her this question. I would have said, what question was it above all others that caused you to lose your soul? In many cases, it would have been the same sin, the sin of presumption. I always assumed that everybody would go to heaven. I always assumed that one baptism was as good as another. I always assumed that grace overruled repentance, and most of all, I always assumed that God is too good to let anybody go to hell, and then one day I woke up and here I am. If a person would go to heaven apart from the shed blood of the Lord Jesus, it would be like a person who suddenly finds himself in a large city where they speak a language he does not understand, he knows no one, has no blood relatives, and has no interest whatever in any activity that could be had there. How could an unrepentant drunkard, bar hopper, sex deviate, find any joy in standing before the God of heaven and saying, unto him that sitteth on the throne, and unto the Lamb, be the blessing and the honor and the glory and the dominion forever and ever, amen. The unforgiven would find such a place as heaven unbearable. Only those who follow the Lamb, whithersoever he goeth, will live there. this perfect home, will come down from heaven from the Father of lights. There is a song that says it well for us. Everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house. In my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house. There is joy, joy, joy. Then another verse says, come and go with me to my Father's house. To my Father's house. To my Father's house. Come and go with me to my Father's house. There is joy, joy, joy. Ladies and gentlemen, these are some of the perfect gifts that we receive from God. The perfect Son, the perfect Word, the perfect Church, the perfect Holy Spirit, and the perfect heavenly home. Truly, the inspired Word tells us, every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom can be no variation, neither shadow that is cast by turning. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul's salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away. For God is just a prayer.